His skin is white just like a ghost. Thick Irish roots and his blonde hair. And he sounds like a Chicago super fan. A music nerd with a collection of CDs from here to there. Yes, Andy Dare is in Chicago, interviewing and barbecuing. It's the Andy Dare Show. It's the Andy Dare Show.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for checking out the Andy Dare Show. This is our 62nd episode, and it just blew my mind to be joined by a childhood hero of mine, one of the greatest American songwriters of the past 20 years, one of the most prolific and successful songwriters, Art Alexakis of Everclear. And he's a great guy, very nice to take the time out of his day. We did a quick little chat. I had a blast doing it. I just remember picking up his first album, probably around 1996, on spring vacation. And it was just a great time. I love Sparkle and Fade. We talk about how we tackled the big issues that weren't being tackled, you know, in alternative and grunge music. They really had their own style, their own sound, but it was very American at the same time. We do dive into a little politics. We dive into heartbreak, all a bunch of good stuff. Just want to thank Art from the bottom of my heart for taking time out to talk to the little guy. And yeah, 62 episodes in, and we're doing just fine. I want to thank Rich Banks for the awesome theme song. Been having a lot of good feedback about the song. And yeah, they've got a great episode. But before we do that, I want to get into my awesome sponsors. First up, in Darien, Illinois, 7,000 square feet of browsing bliss. Frugal Muse, they're a books and multimedia superstore. They have gently used a new book, CDs, movies, LPs, audiobooks, greeting cards, and more. And they're also just a very relaxing time. If you miss going, you know, having a relaxing afternoon walking through Borders, which just shut their doors last year, or, you know, many of the bookstores that have also shut their doors, then you should, you know, reignite the flame and go buy Frugal Muse. They buy, sell, trade, and, they have a huge selection, super nice staff. Paul, the owner, couldn't be nicer. And I met them all at Matt Walsh's taping of his Bear Down podcast last June. It was really cool to see Matt Walsh's whole family come out. He is a Darien kid himself. And he's you know, the talk of the town. He's, you know, in Hollywood making movies, television shows like Veep, movies like The Hangover, all sorts of good stuff that he's been into. So it was really cool to see him, you know, do a little live podcast at the Frugal Muse. So it kind of just sparked my interest. I started talking to them, and yeah, he was interested in sponsoring my show. So I want to thank Paul. I want to thank the Frugal Muse. Do check it out. It's a really fun little place. You can call to order brand new copies of most books and audiobooks, and they'll give it to you at 25% off. And yeah, just a really cool place. Give them a call. They buy, sell, trade, as I said. It's 630-427-1140. And if you're in the western suburbs, check them out. It's Darien, Illinois, located at 7511 Lamont Road. There is a lot of construction going on right on 75th and Lamont Road right now at that corner. But let me tell you this. It is worth the wait in a little bit of traffic to find all, you know, old books that you remember reading and you haven't seen for a long time at a super cheap price. You know, old movies that you'd never be able to pick up for a dollar anywhere else. Super nice people. Super great place. That is the Frugal Muse. And bye. All right. We got a little startup company. We're not sure if they're going to make it through the end of the quarter, but we thought we'd throw them a bone. Oh, yeah. I forgot. It's Amazon.com. Yeah, I became a recent affiliate of Amazon.com. So now all you got to do is go to theandydareshow.com, click through the banner on the right-hand side of the page, order like you normally would. Obviously, Amazon does not need to be described. It is just pretty much the internet's biggest superstore of pretty much anything. So, I mean, recently we had somebody click through my banner and buy a pair of Ray-Ban sunglasses. So just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for, you know, being interested in my show enough to just click through. It's really, it doesn't take any time out of the of your day just to click through the banner so we can keep the lights on here at the Honeycomb Hideout a few months longer. Just click through the banner, order like you normally would, and we get to wet our beaks. We've had books purchased. We've had MP3 albums purchased. It doesn't add anything to the price of the items that you are buying. It's simply just letting them know that we're bringing a little traffic to Amazon.com. So I want to thank anybody that's clicked through. It means a lot to us here a year and a half or more since we started this show. And I just want to thank everybody who's participated and, came to one of our sponsors. If you're coming to the Frugal Muse, just tell them the Andy Dare Show sent you for specials and offers, and just to give Paul an idea of how many people I'm bringing through the store. All right, so before we get into the meat of it with Art Alexakis, let's. What else am I up to recently? Last Monday, I was on There Will Be Spoilers by Matt Fondelier. He's a producer for Corolla Digital, for the Adam Carolla Show, for Ace on the House. Just read a tweet of his saying that he spent the day in Nick Offerman's workshop. He's got a wood shop. He's a woodworker. And he's also in Parks and Recreation. Really funny actor, but also a great woodworker that a lot of people don't know about. Check out Ace on the House this weekend to hear more about that. Or actually, it'll be today when this episode airs. And yeah, There Will Be Spoilers is Matt's little sideshow, his little homemade show about movies. He has an extensive knowledge about movies. He recently was on my show, and we talked about albums that remind us of high school. So I thought I'd come on to his show and talk about movies that remind us of high school. And yeah, it was a great time. Check it out at therewillbespoilers.com. Also, you can check out my little side show called Smooth Operators with Tyler and Andy. We're doing an episode every 2 weeks. Eventually, we're going to be getting cameras going, but right now it's just an audio-only thing, and it's a YouTube exclusive. So you got to go to youtube.com/AndrewMartinDarer and check out the episodes. We've got 5 episodes out now. We're recently joined by his friend Christina, and it's a good discussion. He's a funny guy. He's super knowledgeable, very smart. You got to love Tyler Kale. Follow him at Tyler Kale, TylerKahl. And pretty soon we'll be getting our own Facebook page for Smooth Operators with Tyler and Andy. All right, that about does it. Just want to thank everybody who's given all the good feedback since we launched this third season of ours. Got to thank Phil Rockroar for an awesome last episode and for letting us go on the Chicago Music Bus Tour. And just want to thank Matt Fondelier for doing episode 60. Corolla people have always been nice to me, always had me in their thoughts, and I really appreciate it, 62 episodes in. So without further ado, I would like to introduce my 62nd episode with Art Alexakis. Been a big fan of Invisible Stars. How's the whole summer going for you?
Well, it's great. Summerland was a great tour. Been back a few weeks, just getting my sea legs. I'm getting used to being home. But in a couple of weeks, we go to Everclear's going to Australia and New Zealand for a couple of weeks. Then we start a fall tour. And right now, we're just getting everything together. But we're going to be coming to a lot of places we didn't hit on the Summerland tour. Florida, for sure.
Awesome.
So that's going to be great. And just hit a bunch of places and just tour till almost Christmas time. And then we go to Hawaii to do a benefit that we started a couple of years ago, which is a concert for leukemia. And we're going to do it again this year. And we bring our families and they put us up in a hotel and we play a couple of shows. No one makes any money, but it's, we make money for the kids at the cancer hospital there, so it's pretty cool.
That's so cool, yeah, and it's got to be great just getting out to Hawaii anytime. I mean, especially if you're playing
sure.
a show for a good cause too.
it's a win-win, man, for sure.
Are you a surfer? I know you're from out on the West Coast, but not really.
I did, you know, I'm 50, man. I surfed when I was 14, 13.
Yeah, I tried
Call me a
telling you.
surfer.
Tried telling somebody you were about 50, and they looked at me like I was crazy because we were seeing on what were you on, Kimmel or Leno lately doing
Kimmel.
Kimmel?
Kimmel. Well,
Okay.
we were on both. We were on Leno in June, and Kimmel like about a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
They're like that
Yeah.
lead singer is almost 50. I said, yeah, you wouldn't believe it. Right.
I'm over 50. I turned 50 in April. Yeah.
But it's a new
No
thing too
plastic
with.
surgery either.
It's a new thing with like rockers now. They have longevity, which we didn't have when, you know, in the 60s and 70s. I mean, eventually in 20 years they'll be like, that guy is 90 and he's still rocking. Yeah, he's 90. Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with the passion of rock and roll, really. I know it sounds cheesy, but I really believe that it does. But it also has a lot to do with diet and just me being clean and sober for 23 years. It's funny. I was watching this awesome. I've watched it like three or four times. It's the baseball documentary by Ken Burns.
Sure, it's a good one.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I sure have.
Pretty awesome. But it's funny because it shows like Ty Cobb and Christy Mathewson at like an old timers day back in like 35, you know, 1935, and they're like old men, and they're like 43, and they look like they're seriously, they look like they're
Gramps.
75. You know, man, it's just hard living. They were living hard back then, smoking, drinking, and that was
Whiskey,
before
yeah.
breakfast.
Yeah,
Yeah, good
it's a new
time.
lifestyle, and I think we're good. We're glad to be in this era now. Did you ever think when you started Everclear, when was that, 93, 94, that you'd be still doing it almost 20 years later?
No, not at all. I didn't. I learned, and no, I started in '92, actually. Before my eldest daughter Anna was born. She's 20 now. So I started in April of 1992 after I'd moved to Portland, Oregon from San Francisco. And no, I just wanted, I had to do a band or I was going to go crazy. I told my girlfriend, soon to be second wife, Anna's mom, Jenny, that I wouldn't do any more bands. But and then I got to Portland and I'm just like, I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to be, I literally, I'm going to start shooting people in a tower if I don't play in a band. And I thought I had one more band in me, you know, because each band, the last two or three bands had gotten pretty close to the flame, but hadn't really gotten there. But Everclear was the one. So I was very fortunate and very, very, very humbled
You had
and
one
still
more
am.
in you. That was awesome.
I had one more.
How
I say
much?
that, but you know what,
Okay.
man? I'd probably be a 90-year-old guy still trying to play in a band, sending people tips.
Awesome. How was Portland back when you moved in the 90s? Was it like the same kind of hip cultural center that it is today, or is it different?
No. No, there was always a hipper element there, but no, man. Portland, you know, rolled up the sidewalks at about 8 o'clock at night when I first moved there. But that was fine to me because I had a baby, man. And I was clean and sober, and there was always an element that was partying, and it's always been artist-driven and a very liberal town and politically very aware and cognizant. That's always been there. But and very livable place to live. It's a wonderful place.
Oh, yeah.
I moved back to LA a year and a half ago because I just missed sunshine and Mexican food, man. And I wanted to be closer to the business, that I could work more. And I got a studio over on the west side of LA, but I live in Pasadena, which is way on the east side. And I live in a very residential, cool neighborhood. It's very multi-ethnic, which Portland really wasn't that. And it's a very walking area, and I like that. So when my eldest daughter went to college back in the fall of 2010, my wife Vanessa and I are just like, let's move somewhere warm and
Yeah.
let's raise our daughter somewhere warm. So she's from Arizona, I'm from California. We looked at both, but we ended up coming out to Pasadena, which I'd never lived before. I hadn't been here maybe four or five times in my life. But I just loved it. Came here and looked at it and looked at the schools and said, this is the place to be.
Yeah, it seems pretty much like paradise, Pasadena. It's definitely different from like what LA is right now. How do you think like Tony Villar, or Viragosa, as he calls himself now. How do you think he's doing as, you know, being in charge? And do you think they're going to come up with somebody else that will do a better job, or do you think he's the man for the job?
What? You mean the Dodgers?
No, like the mayor of L.A., right? Isn't that Mayor Antonio Viragosa, right?
Yeah. I never heard Tony Villar. Who calls him that? He calls himself that?
Well, no, that's what – I'm a big fan of Adam Carolla. I know you're friends with him too. And
I like Adam. I don't listen to his podcast. You listen to his podcast every day?
I sure do. I'm actually like – I've had his wife on my show to talk about Springsteen. I've had like all of his producers, Bald Brian, all those guys. They're kind of good friends over here. I'm in Chicago, so I'm kind of out of the loop. But yeah, he goes on these tirades. He said the guy was Tony Villar when he first took office, and then kind of wanted to spruce up his you know, his Latinisms a little bit and switch to Antonio Viragosa. And I don't know. According to Carolla, he's letting the city go down the drain. You know, covered in graffiti and all that stuff. I haven't been out there in 8 years. I haven't seen. So I don't know the difference. But
I don't know. I love Adam. I love Adam. But you know. I haven't talked to Adam in a couple of years, I don't see that.
You don't see
you
that?
Know?
Okay.
I don't see that, and I've never known him as anything but Antonio Villacorosa.
Gotcha. Villacorosa.
I've never known him as anything else, and him trying to Latin it up, I mean, he's as Latin as they come, man. He's the real thing. He's a very well-educated, very intelligent, you know, Chicano dude. I mean, that's what he is. He's, I think he's second or third generation.
I think
and,
so, yeah.
You know, I mean, when you live in L.A., man, that's the deal. The Mexican people here and the Chicanos, the Mexican-Americans, are the majority. They just are. There's just more of them. There's more Mexicans here than anywhere other than Mexico City, which is like 25 million people.
Jeez, okay.
I don't see what Adam's talking about. I drive through downtown LA almost every day, and I work there. I've got friends who've got lost there. I don't know where Adam's living. I think he lives in the valley, and a nice part of the valley that I remember him telling me. He lives right next to Dave Kroll, so I'm assuming they live in a pretty nice neighborhood.
I'm sure.
you know, I live in a very working class neighborhood. I'm not in the same tax strata that those guys are. And I don't know, man. You know, I think there's good and bad things everywhere. I don't think the city's going to hell, but I do know that there's a budget deficit all over California. Every city is in trouble, and every city's trying to figure it out.
And that's even all over America, too. That's not just an L.A. thing. Yeah.
Well, come on. You know that. It's
of course,
like,
yeah.
We're all bumping our heads against the wall and the glass ceiling, depending on where you're coming from. Look, I'm a white American male. I'm assuming you are, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on. Even in bad things, it's still better for us. It just is. That's just the way it is. There's a new song on the record called The Golden Rule.
<You know? laughs> Yep.
That does everybody off because I go, I'm a white guy. I am the king of the world.
Yeah, I love that one. And I love how you never shied away from tackling the big issues. Even back on, you know, Sparkle and Fade, you know, you dealt with race issues. You dealt with abuse issues. And it seemed like a lot of the people from, you know, the alternative mid-90s, they were kind of staying away from that and just wanted to get poetic with, you know, kind of obscure lyrics. You were kind of just going right
into it. Yeah, but no one knew what the hell they were saying.
Exactly, and you were just walking right into it. It took balls to do that. Heart Spark dollar sign, you know, me and my black girlfriend. It's just, it took balls to kind of come out with that stance at that time, and you're still doing it, even with, like, Jackie Robinson on the new album, and, you know, it takes guts, Art, you know.
Well, you know, man, I wear my beliefs on my sleeve, even in the characters I write. I mean, Jackie Rod, what's his name? What was Jackson Green? I'm even blanking on the character's name. He's not a real character, but he's a character in Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
It comes from a lot of people that I've met and put together, and And, you know, I make the connotation between Barack Obama and Jackie Robinson. I mean, they're game changers. Whether you like them or not, you got to give them props for being a game changer.
Sure.
And you know, I like Barack Obama. I think he's made some mistakes, and I think anyone was. I think there's a learning curve there. And, you know, but that's my, you know, I put my beliefs and mostly my heart on my sleeve. That's what artists are supposed to do. I really do. People go, oh, you're a bleeding heart. Yeah, I am. It's my job. Fuck off.
It's true.
that's what I'm supposed to be doing.
I'm sure they were telling Dylan that when he did the hurricane, you know?
Oh, man, of course. You know, every guy and gal in this world that sticks their heads at, people take a swing at. That's just the way it is. And you've got to be prepared for it. You've got to know when you're running for president and you're going to say something to people, you better know that every person in that room has a video camera in their pocket. Every person in that room. Every person you meet on the street who's 13 years old and over probably has a video camera in their pocket. So if you're famous and you're going to date somebody that isn't your significant other, you're going to get busted, dude.
Have fun. Yeah.
Gal, dude, whoever you are, right, whether you're Ashton Kutcher or what's her name, the girl from The Twilight who got busted with her having an affair with her director.
Or even the Duchess of England, yeah.
Well, yeah, that too. That's a bummer because, I mean, they were on private property. But even that, man, and that was in a camp. That was in a video camera. They weren't out in public. They were in a villa, and someone was like a mile away with a high-powered camera. That's not cool.
That's not cool at all.
That's like being in your bedroom and someone taking a picture of you having sex with your wife. Seriously, because you're famous. The rules of propriety. Are you still there?
Yeah, I sure am. Yeah.
The rules of propriety don't count because you're famous.
Yeah, decency doesn't apply to because you're famous. I see that you're still a human being. I mean, if you're going out and having cocktails with some skank or something like that, then maybe it's fair game. But really, chilling in a villa,
you walk outside your door, it's fair game. It's fair game. I say it. I think don't judge lest you be judged. I think judge and be prepared to be judged. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like that's the world we live in. I don't necessarily like it. I mean, think about, now this is before your time, it's before my time too, but think about 1960, 62, the year I was born. You know, JFK's mistress, one of the most famous women in the world, was singing happy birthday to him. Everybody in the press corps knew that JFK was sleeping with Marilyn Monroe,
sure.
But no one talked about it. Could you imagine that happening today?
There was still a respect. Yeah.
Well, you could call it respect, but you could also call it the old boys club. You think they would have not done that to a woman? They would have ripped her apart. They didn't do it to a white man who was in power. So I think it's becoming more egalitarian and fair, but it's also, I don't know. I mean, you look at it, you look at Mitt Romney, and I'm just thinking, look, I'm not a fan, but I felt empathy for the dude. It's just like, man, he's had a hell of a week. that kid's had a hell of a week. You need to call it a day, man. Just go on vacation. Go buy a factory in China or something.
Yeah.
It's fun. Burn off a little steam.
You might as well save the next 2 months and just go on vacation somewhere, I think. Yeah.
Just go buy a factory, fire everybody, you know.
What he's used to.
Work out the kinks a little bit, come back. It'll be okay.
Very funny. Yeah, I mean, I think Barack's got it on lockdown for, the next month or two. I think he's got this one. He had to deal with the past 8 years, so of course it's going to take a little bit of, readjustment time. And he didn't build this economy. The economy was the way it was and kind of just inherited it. I think the guy is just a nice guy. I think he's something
different. Barack Obama?
Yeah, I think Barack.
Everybody likes Barack Obama. Even Republicans like Barack Obama. I mean, he's funny, he's smart, he's a nice guy. They just don't like him because he's in power and they're not.
And someone like me who doesn't read every front page of, you know, the political press, I try to keep myself out of it as much. I'm voting for the guy that I like the most, and I think that's Barack. I mean, being a Chicago guy, I like the guy. I like when he made fun of Kanye West. I like all that stuff, and it all. I love Bill Clinton too. I think Bill Clinton is the man, and I think Barack is kind of somewhat close to what Bill stood for. You know, from 90 to 98. Or was it 92 to 2000? Yeah, I guess.
92 to 2000. Yeah, look, I did well under Clinton, man. Everybody did. This whole country did.
My parents, everybody did well.
Everybody did well under Clinton. And I think he started in the middle of a recession, but it was like comparing this recession to that recession is like comparing a tidal wave to a drop of water in a glass, you know? I mean, it was that much different. I mean, people don't really want to admit, especially the other side doesn't want to admit how bad it was. It was bad, man. We're losing 800,000 jobs a month, and now we're building it back. We're adding like 91,000 jobs a month, and it's not great, but it's not horrible.
It's not where it was. Yeah.
It's not the abyss. and there ain't nobody here. There ain't nobody you know that wants to live through a depression.
Sure. Yeah. Everybody wants to.
Really?
Huh.
My mom lived through the depression. My dad lived through the depression. They're bitter fucking people. No one wants that. No one wants that. It's just like, you know, it's just, World War II, really? They lived through World War II and
the
Great Depression. Yeah, no. And the fact that they didn't, a lot of places didn't have indoor plumbing.
Once again, I'm glad to be where we are in 2012, especially when you look at it that way. Definitely.
It could be worse, man. It could be really worse. I get to work a job I love. I have a great family. I have friends. I'm healthy. I just found out a guy I know who's just like 3 or 4 years older than me has brain tumors. You know?
Really?
Huh. And yeah, and I'm just, God, man, I'm just, you really got to be happy for every strong day you have. You know?
Certainly, yeah, every moment you got to be grateful, you know.
I'm humble, and as I get older, I really am. I get to put out records, I get to make records still, you know. I'm not the biggest cat on the block. I'm not rich.
You don't need to be.
I'm still treading water like everybody else to keep my head above water and keep my kids in school. But at the same time, I'm doing it, and I'm doing it on my terms. So really, at the end of the day, I'm living the dream.
Hey, man, I know you like grilling. I know you like getting those dark grill marks on your burgers, fish, chicken. And I know you don't want to just dry your meat out like you're cooking with a hairdryer. Why not get the Man Grate and click through the AndyDareShow.com's banner so we can keep the lights on here at Honeycomb Hideout Studios in gorgeous Westmont, Illinois. The Man Grate.
How about this? Like, what's the best aspect to your job right now in 2012?
The best aspect to my job? This isn't going to be sexy, but the best aspect of my job is that I make my own hours most of the time. I am gone a lot, and that sucks. But the fact that I can wake up in the morning and take my daughter to school and spend a little time with my wife before I go do what I have to do, or that I can take, like, today's Wednesday. This is our date day where me and my wife just spend the day together.
Nice.
And I try not to do anything. I'm doing this call, which is, no, I'm not supposed to, but I wanted to get it out of the way. But, you know, I mean, that kind of things. I have that kind of luxury. That's not and I know for most people, they don't have that luxury. And I've been in places most of my life where I didn't have that luxury. And I'm just really thankful for it. And I think a large part of it's because I get to, because I, you know, when I go to work, I play guitar, man. I play guitar and I get to sing songs to people who like my music. I mean, that's
how about
cool.
This? You probably don't have a guy in a suit, like, scream, breathing down your throat, like, hey, Art, we need the new single out. We need this. We need a new video. Quick, we need this. We got to do this article. You got to do this. I mean, that probably was more prevalent when you were, you know, doing Sparkle and Fade and, you know, the one after that. Is it less of a thing now? You get more freedom?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't feel like I'm on the treadmill as much, but I never put up with that stuff. I've always been kind of surly about it. When I did our deal, it's funny, is like labels started building up, and this is the early 90s and 94, sure. And we finally played a showcase in LA in April of 94, and all the labels pounced, right? We had literally 37 offers within 2 or 3 days.
Jeez.
It was a bidding war. It was ready to go. And what you do in a bidding war is your manager at the time would fax this offer over to all the other labels, and they would fax back a bigger offer, and then you'd fax that to everybody, right? And then you'd take meetings with the top 10. I took meetings with everybody and set out what I wanted. I want this much money. Oh, that's not bad. Okay. I want this many firm records. Okay, that's cool. I want tour support. I knew what I wanted. I was 32 years old. I had been through it. I'd seen other people make mistakes. So what I was asking for was the tools for success, right?
Sure.
I want a commitment of this much marketing, this much promotion, this much this and this and this. Yeah, okay, we're cool with that. I want a bigger back end. I want a huge back end. If we are successful, I want to this and this and this and this. And they're like, well, okay. They negotiated a little bit, but they gave me pretty much close to what I wanted. And then at the end of it, I go, oh, yeah, by the way, I want to produce all my records, and I want total creative control. I want the last word on everything. And like,
hell yeah, that's
75%
awesome.
Of the labels just went, just gone. Just, woof. Nope. And then what was left was about 7 or 8. And I'm like, okay, these are the guys.
These are the guys.
And
nice.
I picked Capital. Yeah. So,
so
to answer your question, I never really kowtowed to them. The one time my A&R guy was telling me something, I got pissed off at him, and I wrote a song about him called You Make Me Feel Like a Whore. So he didn't bug me too much after that.
But he was right.
He was right. He thought that Santa Monica should be longer. And I was arguing with them, but I made it. I added an extra chorus on it, and it was a huge hit. Who knows? Maybe it would have been a huge hit without it. Maybe not.
Maybe you wouldn't. Yeah, huh? Who knows?
I don't know.
I'm sure a lot of those labels were used to the singer not having anything to do with the discussion about the record deal. You know, I'm sure a lot of these guys just left it up to their manager, and then they got screwed down the road, right?
Well, pretty much, yeah, and I still kind of got screwed by people down the road, but not at that aspect of it. I've always been involved, but as time went on, I started giving more control to my wives and to people. Just I trusted people, you know, just made bad decisions, and I ended up owing the government a lot of money, and I'm just about a month away from paying them off and getting back to where I used to be, you know,
awesome.
And that's fine. It's cool. You make your bed, you be a man. Be a mensch about it, you know.
Sure.
Just you owe it, pay it, move along.
Move on. Nice.
Negotiate it the best you can. Try to get everybody happy with some sort of compromise and move on. And that's what I've done. And I know it sounds stupid to say it, but I think when you get your ass kicked in life, it's a good thing.
It does. It builds character, right? Yeah.
Well, you got to get back up again. How old are you, Andy?
I'm 28.
28? You ever been heartbroken?
Sure have.
Ever been heartbroken?
Yep.
Like bad, 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 bad.
Pretty bad multiple times, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you and me both, brother. I think it's a good thing. I used to think that it was like someone asked me a stupid question. Not a stupid question, but, you know, a typical question. If you had the power to cure one disease, what would that disease be? Cancer? Because your mom died of cancer. And I'm like, no, my mom smoked for 40-something years.
Sure.
You know, she died of lung cancer. It was sad, but it wasn't a tragedy. I mean, if she hadn't smoked for 47 years, she probably wouldn't have died of lung cancer.
Sure, yeah.
She'd probably still be alive. And she knew it. She knew it. She was... She got it. She wasn't pointing fingers at anyone but herself. But I said the disease that I would cure would be heartbreak.
Huh.
That's what it is.
That's a good one.
But I gotta tell you something. Thinking about it now, I don't think I would. I don't think you should. Because heartbreak is one of the things that makes us inherently human.
It certainly does. Animals don't get heartbroken, I have a feeling, right?
No, yeah. You know, then again, you don't know. I had a dog that died, and my other dog sat outside by the food bowl, by my dog's food bowl, the one that died, for about a week.
Oh. That's cute.
Seriously.
Really?
How do you know? I know, but how do you know? It was crazy.
You can't get in their minds, really. I mean, you never know. So.
I don't know. We don't know anything. People talk about they know. They don't know.
We don't know anything, and that's why I try to stay out of the politics and all that stuff, because it's all you know, subjective, and it's tough to know, really. So you guys get picked up by Capitol, and you start recording Sparkle and Fade. How was it writing that record? Did you feel like you had the weight of the world on your shoulders, or was it more like, hey, we got some backing, now let's kick it through the goalposts?
Well, to be honest with you, a lot of people, when they get signed to a major label back in the day, because it's totally different now, you can't compare it today.
No.
But when you got signed to a major label back in the day, people thought that you know, all right, I made it, man. This is it. I made it. No, you haven't made it. Now it starts. That's the whole idea I had. It's just, now it starts. And that's what I told the guys who were playing in my band at the time, that we're not going to get a lot of the perks that a lot of bands get, because I'm not going to get us, and namely myself, into debt like they are. You know, when
Smart.
You get a fancy car from the label, or they're taking out to dinner every night, they're charging that against your account.
Sure, yeah.
They give you a big advance, a huge advance. That's your money.
Yep.
That's money they're giving you. And it seems like it's interest-free. It's not. They own your records forever. Forever. And I was aware of that. But in 1994, they weren't going to let me own the record someday. That just wasn't going to happen. I knew that. I wanted that, but it wasn't going to happen. But the whole mindset was, I went in to make the best record I could. I was frugal about the money. I made the record for under 80 grand, mastered, mixed everything, which at the time was pretty good.
Yeah,
the average for Baby Band was about $150. So, you know, and then we got the balance of the money in our fund, and I wanted a fund, and if I had money left over, I wanted it to come to me and the guys in the band so that we could live on, which was, you know, smart. But it also... It's still, the mindset was there, is once we had the record, we're going to tour our asses off. And we did. We did. We toured with everybody. And some bigger tours, some smaller tours. They bought us a van, which I wanted them to do. And we just, I think by the time the van died, it had like 250,000 miles on it, you know.
It's smart. You didn't go straight to the dealership, you know, straight to the jeweler, a la Urge Overkill or something, when you signed your first, you know, your first deal. How about like your favorite band to play with back in those days?
Well, we used to play with a band. It was a punk rock band that had kind of a minor hit called, what's the name of that band? I'm blanking on. Punk rock band out of Dallas, Texas. I'm blanking on the name. It's funny. I was just talking to one of the guys like 2 weeks ago.
If you could throw me any other stuff, I'm good with music. You know any of the band members or?
Yeah, George was the singer. George. They wore suits.
George was the singer. They wore suits. Huh.
The name of their first single. Their single was called Box, which was.
Mr. Marenga.
Going down.
No. Back?
I think they started with an H.
Tripping Daisies?
But they were great. No. You're thinking Dallas. No, these guys weren't. What are they called? It'll come to me.
It'll come to me after I wrap, yeah, for sure.
It totally will come to me. But,
I'll direct message you.
There was a lot of bands back then that were real fun to play with.
Did you play with the Foo Fighters a lot, I think?
No, we played with them a few times. They were always really cool to us. They were always on Capitol, and they were always a step ahead of us. But
how about the pumpkins? Smashing pumpkins?
They weren't really made. We never played with them.
Oh, okay.
We never played with them. The bigger bands was, I mean, we toured with Filter. They were fun. We toured with Sponge. Toured with No Doubt. And No Doubt was opening for us. We have a history of having opening bands that go on to be huge.
Just blow
like
up.
No nice. Doubt. Yeah. Nickelback.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So be careful. Be careful. Be nice to people on the way up.
Yeah, the key is to open for Everclear on their next tour.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, who you got open
there
for
you
nowadays?
There you go. Yeah, because headlining bands didn't like us opening for them because we were pretty fierce.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's good footage. Yeah.
More three piece. We were fierce, man. I saw some of that stuff recently. And I'm just like, wow, I was angry. And nimble.
Sure. Well, you're still, it's not like you're an old man now. You're pretty nimble now. I mean, geez.
We're a 50-year-old, but it's different. I was 30, 35. And, dude, I was in the air constantly.
So how is it being backed up with the new guys? You're a five-piece now, right? Or a six-piece?
No, it's a five-piece.
Okay.
But they're not really that new. There's two guys that have been in the band almost 9 years. There's one guy that's been in the band 3.5, almost 4 years. One guy that's been in the band over 2. It's not really a new band.
You know,
this is a band we worked on all the songs together. And they put in their input, and they played on the new album. And, it's been a band for a while.
We want to just bring up two of our longest-running sponsors, Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue in Westmont, Illinois. They are a family-friendly barbecue restaurant with the real-deal barbecue, smokers built into the restaurant, and they have great ribs, pulled pork, beef brisket, homemade hot link sausage. If you're a fan of meats, which I am, do yourself a favor and check us out in the western suburbs of Westmont, Illinois. Give them a call at 630-493-9000. And also treat yourself to some catering. They are a full-service catering company as well. They put on weddings, pig roasts, luaus, corporate picnics, lunches, whatever you want. They will bend over to your every will and make sure that your party goes off without a hitch. They have smokers. They have grills that they can bring right out to on the site and make sure that your party goes great. Check them out on the web. That's at UncleBubs.com. And if you have any questions, give them a call. Tell them that the Andy Dare Show sent you for specials and offers. And by Secondhand Mall, also in Westmont, Illinois. 309 West Ogden Avenue. They are a secondhand shop that actually bought out the inventory of Remember When Records, my record store of 28 years. So they have a huge vinyl selection. They have a huge CD selection, movie selection, computer games. They also have power tools, musical instruments. It's just a great atmosphere, kind of like the Frugal Muse. They're in Westmont, Illinois. Give them a call. They buy, sell, trade, 630-810-9980. And visit them on the web at Secondhand Mall, a.k.a. 2ND Hand Mall.
I could definitely see, like, hear the whole band coming together as a band on this new album, like, a lot more so than I did with Welcome, you know, to the, like the one prior to Welcome to the Drama
Club. Yeah, Welcome to the Drama Club. I think that was a really good album, but I think in hindsight it should have been a solo record.
That's what it felt like a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it should have been. It really should have been. But I really love that record. I think it's a good record. It's not really an
I love Glorious. Yeah, that's a beautiful song. And but it seems like now with this new album, you guys are finally getting your footing together as more of an ensemble. And I think it's like a good fortune for what you guys got coming down the road too. I'm excited for what's next too. So
cool. Well, yeah, me too. I don't know what's next. I'm just going to tour on this record and keep trying to make this thing happen and break it. And we just put out a second single to AAA Radio, like, yesterday, Santa Ana Wind, so we'll see how that goes. You know, this is a whole different world, man. You need something to really flip the switch, and other than that, I'm just going to go out and take care of our fans and just keep doing what we do.
Yeah, it's really cool that you got fans all around the globe. You're going to New Zealand, and it's just, it's got to be weird seeing people from like New Zealand, foreign countries, singing back your words to you. Is that just a weird, exciting moment?
Oh, yeah. It's always exciting. I don't care where I am. It's always fun and exciting when people sing my words. I remember playing Woodstock 99 and having like 250,000 people sing the words to Santa Monica. That was pretty cool.
That's insane.
Yeah, considering the way we were dressed at the time, it was pretty amazing. I don't even know what the hell we were thinking of. We looked ridiculous. But anyways, I need to wrap it up, brother.
Sure, sounds good. Just want to thank you for taking out the time. I know this is your date day, but I appreciate you taking out the half hour for us.
I appreciate it. Whenever you put this on, remember to put this and just say, I want to say happy 30th birthday to my wife, Vanessa, love of my life. She turns 30 tomorrow morning.
Awesome.
And I've got some surprises for her, so she'll be very, very happy.
Cool.
But, yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks for your time. I appreciate talking
how about
to you.
Really quickly, how about like a website they can find you at?
Oh, well, they can follow me at Art Alexakis on Twitter or at Everclear Band on Twitter. They could come to my Facebook page or the Everclear Facebook page under our names respectively. And or you could go to everclearonline.com, which is our website. And, hit me up on Twitter, man.
Totally awesome.
That's where you found me.
Yep, that's awesome, man. I just want to thank you again. And on behalf of Art Alexakis, thank you so much for checking out the Andy Derer Show.
Be sure to follow Andy on Twitter. That's at Andy Derer, AndyYDerer. And like our show on Facebook. That's facebook.com/TheAndyDererShow. Videos at youtube.com/AndrewMartinDerer. And it all leads back to TheAndyDererShow.com. Support our show by supporting our sponsors, Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue, The Mandrake, Secondhand Mall, Frugal Muse, and Amazon.com. Thank you so much for listening.